I've been tasked by Paul to teach on delivery, more on homiletics than he'll be taking care of the hermeneutics, the content. See, there's two things about preaching: content and delivery. You may have great content, but you know, if you just if you're one of the most boring person in the world, or you did not deliver it well, so you know, the content is just gone. You know, it doesn't really matter how good your content is. And so I'm hoping to be able to impart a bit about homiletics, the delivery side of preaching. And I'll be focusing on the lesson on using illustrations. I think illustrations are very powerful tool for us whenever we preach. And so in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, it says, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. Let me just pray as we start. Lord, we just want to thank you as we gather together and study your word. My prayer is that you would just grant us an open heart and open mind. I pray that this will be a time to learn from one another. Enrich us, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so such a great verse. No, it says Matthew 13, 34, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. There's, you know, even in the Gospels, Jesus taught a lot. Many verses are, there are many verses of his teaching, but about half of those verses are illustrations, are parables. Now, that's why we take time in studying how to deliver and to come up with illustration. Now, parable comes from the, I don't know if you noticed this, but parable comes from the same root word as parabola. Are you familiar with parabola? Yes. You know, a parabola? Yeah, y is equal to x squared. And so whatever happens on the positive side is mirrored on the negative side of the x-axis. And so a parable, like a parabola, is you're looking for something to mirror real life. That's why it's important that we are able to think of certain things all around us that would help others. See, certain things about real life are hard to grasp, certain concepts. And so it would be good for us if we have an illustration which mirrors real life, but helps the people grasp or understand it more. And that's why Jesus used parables, you know, in most of his preaching. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this: if didactic speech fails to enlighten your hearers, you can always open a window and let in the pleasant light of analogy. So that's one of the greatest preachers we have, you know, written so many preachings. And that's what he has to say about illustration. He said that sometimes didactic means teaching. Sometimes your teachings can only go so far. Your concepts, your terminologies, they can only go so far with the people. But if we have illustrations or analogies, it opens a light to our people. And so today we're, and next, tomorrow, just to give you a bit of an outline, it's simple. You know, when we talk about illustration, I'm just going to simply have this outline so it's easy to remember. It's the what, oh, sorry, what, why, I pressed it too fast. The where, the when, the how, and the who of illustration. And so I'll just go through this. This is like my outline. I'm going to start off by saying what is an illustration and all that. And then why do we use illustration? And then where do we find them? Have you ever had a time when you were preparing preachings and you don't know where to find an illustration? You're going through, you're Googling everywhere. You go to Sermon Central hoping, you know, but there's none there. Have you ever tried that? Yes. Have you ever had that problem? I think I'm the only one who's like that. Okay, good for all of you. When, the how, and the who. So I think we'll be able to cover until the why or the where, and then we'll continue on tomorrow. And then my last session with all of you is I'm going to try to, how many of you are familiar with our sermon series in Manila that's available on our resource. I'm going to give you a run-through of how we prepare those things and how it should be received so that by all of you, when you take it, what's the thought process that went through it? Because I think it will be helpful for all of you, very practical for everyone, especially for those who are accessing it. I'll give you a under-the-hood sneak peek or a peek under the hood of what we do to get to where to get the results that you see. I think that will be very helpful because week after week you look at that, and so I'll try to deconstruct it for all of you, so that then when you go back you can get your team together. And I'm gonna speak a bit about preparing preaching on a team context. Sometimes we only prepare on our own. But I think we are coming to a place where God is opening up for us to prepare as a team. And I think the dynamics there we have to learn. And that's a good avenue to raise up new leaders as well. And so that's going to be my last session. And I hope that would be helpful for everyone as well, especially for those of you who are accessing our resource. Okay? So let's look at what is an illustration. Okay? Really, an illustration is the word illustration comes from the original word for illustration means light or to shed light or to illuminate, no? And it also is the same word as the word luster. Luster means to reflect light, and so hopefully our illustration the purpose of our illustration is so hopefully it sheds light on our preaching, the concepts, the difficult concepts that we have in our preaching. You shed light on that to make it easier for our people to understand. Or it's also made to reflect the light of God, the light of His Word, because His Word is light. And so if you have a good illustration, if it has good luster, it reflects the light of God properly. So that's what we're hoping for illustration. Another way I would like to speak of illustration, and Pastor Paul is very good at this. Another way I illustrate illustration is it's turning the ear into an eye. You know that mostly when we preach, I hope you do not use the full hour just to show videos. Most of the time, what we do in a preaching is we speak with our mouth, right? And we use words. And illustration has a way of turning their ears into an eye. That we are able, if we are able to use the proper illustration and deliver it well, we have the potential to turn one of the, we have the potential to use one of the greatest multimedia tool ever made, which is the brain. Because most of us, sometimes we are looking for videos or pictures where unbeknownst to us, the greatest tool for them to really see what you're saying is their imagination. If we are able to use words in such a way that it could turn their ear into an eye, that they could actually feel and sense what you're saying, then I think that would be a very successful illustration. So that's the way I illustrate illustration. A good illustration or what illustration, it turns the ear into an eye. If that's how I've always tried to help. I always have people, my staff listen to me when I preach. And they are the ones, these are the criterias I give them. I tell them, was I able to deliver it well? And one of the ways they evaluate it is if they could actually feel or sense what I was saying, that I have actually successfully turned their ear into an eye. Pastor Paul is very good at this. He does not use any multimedia. He's against multimedia. I think, is he there? He thinks it's for the Antichrist. I'm just kidding, Pastor Paul. I'm sorry. He's not here. But Pastor Paul is super against. He would go to our congregation and he will be offended if you say that, can we get some of your verses? We will put it in the keynote. No. He starts to growl. He is offended because, but you know, if you have Paul preaching, you don't need a PowerPoint or keynote. His words alone is able to make you see, feel. So he's one of those people who could actually get away with it. But for us mere mortals, Paul with the spandex and all that, and us mere mortals, it might be good. It's good that Paul is not here. Ah, naka-podcast. Oh, sorry. Could you please take that out from the podcast? He's my friend. Okay. But Paul really has a way with words. And he's one of the people I listen to and really learn from when it comes to turning. He has a way of narrating stories that would cause you to feel like you're actually in the middle of the story. If we're successful in doing that, who needs a video? And have you ever had a video that's it's so awkward when it stops? Toot! The video, have you ever done that? You show the video and then it stops. Like, nooni, nooni, no. Oh, so the video, did you? So it's awkward. But if you're able to just, you know, seamlessly weave that into your preaching, so much the better. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I've had video who stops at an awkward moment, you know? Like, and then, or it stops with a commercial. Ha, Citibank. You know, because you just ripped it off from a Thailand Citibank. Thailand has the best, like tear jerkers when it comes to videos, right? And then it becomes Thai insurance. Okay. Just destroy the moment, ladies and gentlemen. Destroy the learning moment. Okay, so, and that's why it's good to have, to develop that skill. To be able to, so for me, I've been really praying and asking God. That's one thing that I always try to develop. I seldom use pictures. I know some of you who goes to Malate, I seldom use videos, pictures. It's always the text and just stories and all that. And so for those of you who have heard me preach, and of course, lots of jokes. Anyway, so what an illustration does, okay? So hopefully, as you pick an illustration, it does one or more of these. Not all of them, but one of make the message interesting. It causes your listener, and that's why sometimes people start off with an illustration because it causes their audience to start to, hey, I want to listen. This sounds good, okay? I'm wearing this shirt called An Act Series. And this is our series on our EN mission values that we did for, for I think the last series, before this one, before the behind the scene. And there was this one, our last was about missions. And so, you know, not everyone in your congregation loves mission. You know, not every one of them are like jumping around saying, wow, missions, you know. There's a few, but not all of them. And that's mostly all of you who are here and some of them who are maybe in the future want to be in missions, but not all of them. And so I started off with an illustration. I said, you know why missions is important? And I said this, the reason missions is important for all of us, I said, all, not just some of us, not just the missionaries, but all of us is because of this. If we are serious about missions, then instead of getting angry when the bus is late, the reason that was funny for the Filipinos was because this was the day before this, Gilas lost to China. You know, this basketball thing with Gilas, the puso thing. And Gilas lost because according to them, there was bad calls by the referee, the bus was late, and I think you remember when I preached that, right, Jason? And everyone was laughing because I started off with an illustration with an illustration that was relevant because everyone was seething, they were in their social media, they were angry about what China did. And I said, instead of getting angry with them, let's go to missions and win them for Christ. If we win them for Christ, the bus will be on time. The referees will make the right call. And there will be no more anger on our part, but only love. And so with all of that, and that's why we have the heart, puso. And so those are things that makes it interesting for those who, you know, they came from a, a loss, a heartbreaking loss from China. We wanted to win. And so I used that as an illustration, because if we reach China, my people, I told them, my people has done this to us. And so they were all laughing, but I guess it prepared, right, DK? It's our people. And so the Chinese people, and they were angry. And so, and then I said, and then let's ask. And so I said, let's ask for the Spratly as well. Anyway, of all of those. And so it was a funny moment for all of us. But that illustration helped us say, oh, so there is. I mean, it's funny and all that, but it helped our people say, okay, let's listen in. What does he have to say? And it got people to drop their guard, because everyone was in on. So hopefully you can find something as relevant as that, especially when you're trying to preach on mission and not everyone is really in on it. And so it makes it interesting. It helps. It just, perks them up. Hopefully an illustration, it holds attention. So at one point when I was doing that illustration, they were saying, what's wrong with the bus? What's the late bus? I said, I started off with those things, but they caught on, the referees, and it held their attention. And they said, okay, let's listen to what this guy has to say about reaching the nations, okay? And it makes your point relevant, hopefully, when you do an illustration. Hopefully, you just don't pick an illustration because it's funny, but it has nothing to do with your preaching. It's just funny. It will give everyone a laugh, and then they will forget about your points because it was so funny. All right? So make sure it makes your point relevant. Creates or reinforces needs, or it persuades. Hopefully an illustration carries some, helps and persuade. Later on, I'll give you some example of some of the illustrations I had to persuade people, especially in persuading them to join small groups. How many of you have problems with people joining the small group in your church? That's quite a challenge, right? They just want to go in the church and out of the church. But one time I did an illustration that helped them understand. And so that's when, Bobby Ray Parks? He's now in the trying out for the NBA, but he's a basketball player here. He's a popular player here. Yeah, he used to not want to be in a victory group. But after that preaching, when he heard that, he became part of a victory group. So hopefully it will help you also. So some of the illustration and examples I give here has copyright, huh? Copyright away. If you think it's useful, just copy. That's my rule for copyright. You copyright away, okay? Copyright away. No need to ask permission. Okay, just copyright away. That's our rule here, okay? Okay, freely you receive, freely you give, huh? All right. later, you're DK, huh? Assist memory. How many of you know that stories could stick longer than, words, points? Sometimes they forgot everything you said except for that one story that you said. So hopefully if you can get a story that will drive home, it will assist their memory. And arouses emotions. Okay? Because the more, it's not just enough that their brains are stimulated, but if their hearts are in it, they will remember it. Okay? And hopefully it creates rapport. Don't use illustrations that are offensive. The moment you start, they're already turned off. Hopefully your illustration builds a bridge. A good illustration that creates rapport are illustrations that involves sometimes when you illustrate, but you involve a personal story that is everyone's weakness, but you're telling them from your point of view, from your experience, how you experience that kind of a weakness. Because if you always give an illustration that makes you the hero, sooner or later, people will say, so you're this guy. You are just these Christians. You are the name above all name. So you don't want that impression. But, how many of we have weaknesses, right? And many of the weaknesses that our congregation have, we share. We also have that. If when we're talking about generosity. How many of you have had battles with being generous? So if you give an illustration in your life about generosity, and they saw that you also had a bit of a struggle with it, not as if, you know, you just threw all of your money, you know, and just gave it all away and say, it's me. But if they see that kind of an illustration, automatically it recreates a rapport with them. You connect with them. You say, oh, he understands me. He goes through it as well. Yet, by the grace of God, we're able to overcome. So I think these are the kinds of illustration that are, we have these characteristics in our illustration. Not all of them in one illustration, but most of them in one illustration. Then we're in good shape, okay? Forms of illustration. Okay, so what are the different forms of illustration? One of the best forms is stories. Jesus always used stories. One of the stories that all of us know and has made so much impact among us is what? The prodigal son. How many of you have used that story time and time and again? It never runs out of lesson. You know, the prodigal son. And even if you've heard it before and then it's preached again, how many of you are touched again when you hear it again? It's so powerful. Doesn't mean you've said it before, you cannot say it anymore. That's the power of a well-written or well-delivered story. So, another is analogies. Like simile or a metaphor. I like it when, I think it's in Hebrew, when they say that hope is an anchor. No, hope is a very, very, shall I say, abstract concept, wouldn't you think? But if you associate it, just like in Hebrews, to an anchor, then you say, oh, that's why I never give up, because I'm anchored on something. And so that illustration for me of hope never left me. Scott Dauma also did a preaching on the rope of hope. I don't know if you remember that in one of our conferences. Pastor Sam, you were there as well. I think you could remember that. And he had this example of how it's a rope of hope. And he had a rope. And until today, I could still see Pastor Scott doing it. So powerful. An illustration. And even with props. Modified information. Now, what is modified information? Now, in missions, how many of you have heard Pastor June Escosar? You know, Pastor June, when he preaches, you know, you want him to stop talking so that you can go out in missions already. Pastor June, stop it. We are convinced we will go. Okay? How many of you have felt that with Pastor June? And Pastor June and Pastor Steve would always use an illustration about the world, but to increase its impact, they modified it. And this is the example. If the world was a village of 10 people, 6 of them will be from Asia. You know, versus 60% of the population of the world are from Asia. Okay. Okay, nice, thank you. Moving on. But if you modify the information, that's a simple modification. But how many of you who has heard that, you know, when you heard it, said, whoa, what an impact it is for if we just focus on Asia. Did that no effect on you? Okay. I think you're all too callous already. But for us, again, mere mortals, that makes a lot of impact, you know. But for you Kryptonians, maybe you're too much for you. Moving on. Word pictures. What are word pictures? You know, there are many ways to do this, but let me give you an example. I said a while ago, one of our biggest challenge in Malate is to really get people into small groups. And so what we did was I had this preaching on small groups, on connecting. I think we called it hotspot or something. It's some preaching. And what I did was I had people come up the stage. So the first person that came up was in Superman costume. And then as he was coming up, there was this music. Da, 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 da. So dramatic. And then I'll start to say, some of you, the reason you never go to a small group is because you think you're strong. It's you against the world. You don't need a crutch. You are the man. You're Superman. I said, and you know, if you're like this, you owe it to us. If you're Superman, save us. Be part of a small group and save us all. Maybe we could ask help from you. You don't need help, but we need help from you. You arrogant you. And so I say that with a smile. You're so arrogant, but thank you. You know, we can use an arrogant person like you. And so it was, everyone was laughing. I think some of them got offended. But again, you know, but it created rapport and, you know, whatever. And then the second one, some of you are like this guy. And at that time, Lone Ranger was showing. So and again, the music came. So this preaching has always been remembered, not because of these two, but the last. Okay, so I said. So someone came with a mask and said, even Lone Ranger had Tonto. Okay, and so I told them that. And then I gave this. Okay, I don't know if you can see it. It's black, but oh, sorry. It's back. Okay. This is Zimba. Zimba is in Tagalog, Simba is to go to church. Okay? This is uwe. Uwe means to go home. And you go to victory. So I said, and someone came up, and we have someone who looks like he's from Africa. And so when he was coming up, we were singing, the Lion King. And then I said, some of you are a citizen of the nation of Zimbabwe. You Zimba, you were in victory. You Zimba, you were in victory. Zimba, you were in victory. So you Zimba is to go to church in Tagalog. Uwe is to go home. You Zimba, you were in victory. Zimbabwe. So you are a citizen of Zimbabwe. And so all of them were laughing. And to this day, ladies and gentlemen, to this day, the language of Zimbabwe is part of Malate culture. They would always tell, Pastor, I'm no longer a citizen of Zimbabwe. I'm already part of a victory group. Until today, di ba? For Julius and all of, Zimbabwe has become a language. It was so funny, it made an impact. And what happened was, at the end of this preaching, I had everyone's, if you're a victory group leader, please stand up. So we thank them, we honor them. If you're part of a victory group, stand up. Guess who was left sitting down? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I said, citizens of Zimbabwe. I said, they were, and you know, I told them, you are our valued guests. But hopefully you'll become family. And so for all of you who are standing up, please extend your hand to them, get to know them, so all, many of them got plugged in. And no longer are they a citizen of Zimbabwe. Okay? So, little things like that. That's an illustration, but I don't know how it will work for you, but it worked for us. It became our language, and everyone until today, you know, they have never forgotten this, and they still come up to me and say, Pastor, we are no longer citizens of Zimbabwe. Alright? So, hopefully this is helpful for you. So, sometimes, you know, it's not every Sunday that you'll come up with an illustration as strong as that one. However, you just keep at it. And one day you'll stumble upon it. And it becomes, it's so strong, it becomes part of your culture. Okay? Okay. So hopefully you learned something on forms of illustration. Now, why do we use illustration? Now, historically, people, you know, preachers are against using media. There's been a time, you know, why use illustration, you know, we can do, why use media and all that. But I've always told people that, you know, we don't compete with media. We compete with the message of media. Media is okay. That's why it's okay to use PowerPoint. Because, you know, Jesus, he used PowerPoint. He would say, look at the birds. He had the power to point. And then, look at the birds in the air. Who used PowerPoint first? Jesus. Okay, that's why, you know, if it's good enough, yeah, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Diba? Jesus used, and he would always, so power, you know, see, I can see that look of disdain. Huh? He cannot take it. Pastor Paul was, you know, convulsed later on as I talk about the use of media and PowerPoint and the power to point. Okay? Because Jesus deemed it necessary. He would use a millstone. He would give pictures like that. If you cause these little ones to sin, it's better for you to have a millstone tied and thrown into the sea. So people had a vivid picture of how grave the sin was. Okay, because that's a form of execution. Never, if you, a millstone, if you're tied with a millstone, it's a dishonorable that you're never to be seen again and you'll be eaten by fish. It's a form of, it's a humiliating way to die actually at that time. So it's better for you to die like that. And you'll not have a proper burial and you'll never be seen again. That's what it meant. So, you know, you'd rather die like that than cause one of these little ones to sin. Wow, such a powerful illustration for people at those times. See, the power. Now, we don't bring millstones. We put the millstones on PowerPoint so they can see it. Okay, because it's too heavy to bring a millstone. Can you bring a millstone in this one? Would you want to bring a millstone? No way. Huh? You know that verse in discipleship? Anyone who follows me, deny, carry his cross? Wow, that is a powerful illustration, carry your cross. Because, now, Jesus was not crucified yet at that time. So they didn't know about the crucifixion. What were they referring to at that time? They were referring to the picture that this will conjure up in the mind of the people, because at that time, when someone was carrying a cross, it was the last time they will see the person. It was, so he said this, if you're going to follow me, life as you know it will cease. You'll be a different person. The person you are now, that's the last time they will see you as such. That's what it means to carry your cross. As many people think, carry your cross. That's the crucifixion. They will die for their sin. Die to sin. No, that's not. Jesus was the one saying this. So for them, the meaning was not the crucifixion. For them, the meaning was the Roman execution of crucifixion. And whenever someone was carrying a bar, goodbye. That's it for you. We'll not see you again. Life as you know it has ended. Doo-doo. So that's it. And so that was what the illustration was for. And it's also powerful. You remember the coin? And you know, they were having a dispute. And Jesus, you know, he puts the dispute to rest with a coin. He says, whose image? Whose image is that? Whoa, everyone's Caesar's. He says, give to Caesar's what is due, Caesar. But what did he say next? But give to God what is due, God. What does that mean? Does it mean you have to give your tithes and offering? Is that what it means? Or, while he was talking to the person, he says, whose image did you see there? Caesar's. Give to Caesar's what is due, Caesar's. And he looks at you. Give to God what is due, God. Whose image is upon you? What were we made of? The image of? Give to God what is due, God. Your whole life. What a powerful illustration. So Jesus was very good. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough. Sorry for the theatrics, you know. It's just natural for me to do that. And of course, many would, this is a conjecture. Many, I think I heard this from Pastor Ray McCollum, but it has stuck with me a long time. He was talking about how Jesus, when there was this adulterous woman who was, and he was writing, and he was saying, you know, and then he looks up and whoever has no sin, cast the first stone. And so from the oldest, and you know, the reason the oldest one is because the younger ones were, the 12-year-old, they will also stone, but only after the elders would do it. Whatever the elders was training them up. So when the elders dropped the stone, they dropped the stone as well. And then Ray McCollum asked this long time ago, and it stuck with me. He said, what do you think the Lord was writing? He said it was writing the Ten Commandments. And so when the people saw, and in Exodus, he said that the Ten Commandments were written with what? The finger of God. It was written by the finger of God. So everyone, when they saw the law, knew that everyone has sinned. And that's why no one can cast the first stone. But Jesus used all of these things. He would draw. He would what? He would point to something, the birds in the air. He would look at the crucifixion. He would look at the, give me a coin. Everything. He would use it to bring a point home. And how many of you will remember all of those? The crucifixion, what it is for? It's because it marks, it places a mark in our minds. And what we're hoping is, you know, as we pray to prepare for our preaching, God will give us insight on what's relevant. See, Jesus looked around him and saw what was relevant and said, oh, someone being crucified. Let me talk about discipleship on those terms. And so, okay, about the how grievous a sin was. Okay, let me talk about it in these terms. Oh, taxes, let me talk about it in Caesar's terms. And so he was very relevant, just like a characteristic of a illustration. Everyone knew what he was talking about. And when they would see it and they would see it in everyday life. And so whenever they see it, they would remember who? Jesus. They would remember what Jesus said about the matter. And so I think that would be very good. That's why when I do illustrations, I always try to find something around that just happened, the fight of Manny. You know, when there was a time we were preaching about finances, and there was a fight by Manny Pacquiao. So you know, in the morning, no one was there. In the afternoon, we were packed. And I said, in the morning, no one can serve God and Manny. Thank you for everyone who came here. So it was a moment for them, you know, just to get everyone in, to show interest about money, you know. But it was about no one can serve both God and Manny. Because many of them were watching instead of, and they say, you are the real Christians here. And I started joking. But our topic for today is about finances. So even the guests were laughing, everyone. It was relevant. It got the ball rolling for all of us. It created rapport. So those are just illustrations that, you know, if something is really on the news or on the feeds, maybe it could be of use for God's kingdom. We could use it as an illustration. Okay, I cannot tell you the times that I've used Aldab for illustrations, but just a few remarks. So where do we find illustrations? As I was saying a while ago, this will be our, I think we'll land after this. First, people around us. I cannot tell you how much it helps me to have the staff go with me and I talk to them every time, especially the youth, the ENC. So the people around me, I always tell my staff to please listen to me and correct me and tell me what's wrong with my preaching or if you can improve it. I always have that 11 o'clock I will preach and then I will sit down with them. So what's wrong? How can we improve it? Is there any illustration that would help? So people around you, always ask around. I always talk to young people and I hear from them. And they're always a good source of illustration, especially relevant ones. Second is personal experience. This one, this guy here. So people around us, personal experience. Do not underestimate what you have gone through. God has prepared you at such a time as this. How long have you been preparing for your message all your life? Because I think God has caused you to go through. God also has meant for you to be able to use it. And again, be careful again to always use your personal experience, especially if you're the hero. You know, there are some pastors, you know, some people would come to me and they would say, oh, you know, pastor, I said, relax, you know, those are true in their life. I would always uphold the pastor, but you can't help but others would say that they're always the hero of the story. So try not to try not to, you know, be the, but a good experience, especially with a struggle, with a bit of a challenge, and tell them how you overcame and how God gave you the grace. Wow, those are powerful, powerful story. Whenever I talk about missions, one of the things that I really have a struggle with is that if God would call me to go to a place that is dangerous, that I would have to give my life, or that there was a potential that, you know, I would be in danger or my family would be in danger. So I said, that's for me. You know, I may be a pastor here, but that, but if God would call me there, I always say this, I would always ask him to give me the grace if that is his will for me. So you do not claim that you already got it made. You know, I'm going to go anywhere God tells me to go. Man, yeah, right. You know, how do you know? Right? So just say that, you know, your disposition is to say yes. But how many of us know that even if our disposition is to say yes, we still need the grace of God to actually say yes? There's many things in our lives that are like that. We have the disposition to say yes. But it's only the grace of God that causes us to actually say yes to it. So hopefully we remember that in our lives, because I always remind myself of that. Because, you know, so many difficult decisions, especially when, you know, when God calls you. But I believe God always prepares us for it. And of course, popular media. Facebook, and this is not an excuse for you to, you know, Facebook all day. What are you doing in Facebook? I'm preparing for my preaching, Pastor. What a good excuse to be in Facebook the whole day, Pastor. This is research. Okay, so please do not make that excuse. Okay, may the Lord judge your heart. But God knows our heart. But Facebook is a good source. It has a lot of things written there. But, you know, be careful in the internet, of course, always. Twitter, all of those. So I have illustrations from those popular media. Television is a popular media. Radio, songs, commercials, all of them. So, popular media. YouTube. You know, this generation, when you have to ask something, how can you do this? Oh, simple. Simple, Dad. YouTube it. Like, what? What happened to conversation? So, it's always, in this generation, YouTube it. And so, if you want to ask, and you want to get an idea of a certain thing, YouTube it. And you'll be able to connect with a younger generation, such as myself. Of course, you older generation, in order to connect with people as young as I am, need to YouTube it. Why, you liar, you? Anyway. And of course, stories, analogies. I just pasted it there. Because I know certain people who actually archives and files stories. And so maybe some of you would like to do it. I don't do it. I just Google it and see if the story pops up or not. But stories, analogies are good. I have for certain things, I have certain analogies. Later on, tomorrow I'll share to you some of my analogies. Some of it, Pastor Paul will not agree with me, but you know, we agree to disagree. Modified information. And of course, word pictures. And come up with word pictures. Some of my illustration, I thought through it. Oh, Simba Owe, you know. And I thought through it, and then I made a graphics for it. So, all right. It's already 1:50, Pastor Paul, right? 1:50. 10-minute break? Am I right? So, we're going to have a break. Hopefully, this was helpful for you. We still have more tomorrow, and of course, hopefully, we'll get the team thing going next tomorrow. All right? Team preparation. Thank you.